world and preaching the gospel to every creature. All of God's children have been called to labor in His harvest. Many of Christians have certainly lost sight of this in this day and age. The church has moved a long way from the philosophy in Nehemiah's day, which when the wall needed to be built, the people, the Bible said, had a mind to work. Because there was a need, they recognized that need. In recognizing that need, they gathered together in unity and they had a mind to work. What is your mind on when we gather to go out soul winning? When the church is gathering together and going out to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, without a doubt, the most important thing any child of God could be a part of, where is your mind? Is it on your television? Yeah. As you scroll through your Thursday night programs, justifying the fact that you've never went through the gospel message with any soul your whole Christian life? Do you think God doesn't notice that? And you live day to day expecting God's blessing, going around talking about how God is so good to you. I doubt you do that because of the coldness of your heart in this matter of being obedient to the Great Commission. We're all called to be servants. The church has moved a long way from the philosophy of Nehemiah's day, which when the wall needed to be built, the people had a mind to work. You know what's going to help you be the soul winner God's called you to be? When you develop a mind to work. The harvest truly is plenteous. The labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that He send forth laborers into His harvest. Every one of us, that's His prayer for you and I. We are those laborers that He's praying for, that we would get in the harvest of the Father that's ready. All ready to harvest. And Solomon's day moved not only from the time of Nehemiah's day, but Solomon's as well, in which it was said of his men, his servants, that labored around him, happy are these thy servants. Having a mind to work and absolutely enjoying the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is possible. But it's not possible if we've got our heart tied into this world. And the Lord, in Matthew chapter number 9, admonishes us to go into the harvest. The harvest is ripe, the harvest is ready, and the harvest is ready for reaping. The need is laborers. Tonight I'm going to give you several types of people in the church. Several types of people in the church. We'll work through this outline, amen, and we'll be done. Number one, there are wishful people in the church. Wishful people in the church. There are those, remember the Apostle Paul said over in the book of Romans, I believe it, Romans chapter number 9, he said, I wish that myself would be accursed for Israel's sake. I wish. There are people in the church that are wishful people in this regard, that they wish folks would get saved without their involvement. They wish that somehow the gospel message could be carried out without one individual having to be a part of that. They're wishful people. I know that that is so in our church because you never show up to go soul winning. And I'm sure that you have some heart, I hope you have some heart, that the gospel be spread throughout. Secondly, they wish the work would be done by someone else. Amen to that. They come in and look around and they can point out real quickly again, get on that Facebook. Amen. Tell the world how lacking their church is that they go to. But they wish that somebody else would do the job. Thirdly, they wish that things were not the way they are, but do nothing to try to improve it. Number two, washful people. Now, that sounds kind of strange, but just it's my alliteration, amen? What I mean by that is this. Most Christians are content to live their lives, their Christian lives, in a matter that I describe as a wash. A wash. It's funny the Lord gave me this a while back. When I do my taxes, what do you need, Brittany? What? Testing 1, 2. It's not working? Oh, what do you mean? All right, I'll use this one. Whenever, when I do my taxes, the Lord's worked it out for us. We've got a rent house. And the tax person battery must be dead because I got a red light. The tax person says, oh, you got a rent house, yes. What are your payments? Let's say $800 a month. What do the renters pay? $800 a month. Well, that's a wash. That's a wash. In other words, that standing doesn't hurt me, but it doesn't help me either. It doesn't hurt me, but it doesn't help me. What am I saying? I believe there's a lot of Christians that they like living a Christian life, and they've grown content with kind of this mindset. I am a Christian, so I'm not hurting the church, but what they don't realize is they're not doing anything for God. And they're not helping the church. You know what that's called? That's called a wash. That's called a wash. Say, ain't it just enough that I just live a Christian life and just that I'm saved and that I go to church every Sunday and every Sunday night and whatever service is there? I mean, isn't that enough that I come and I do this or I do that? I'm doing my part. Well, what about getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world? That's your number one responsibility. But you've convinced yourself that I am a Christian and I'm not hurting the church. But just like that rent house we have, you're not helping the church either. You're a wash. Washful people. Nehemiah chapter number 3 is there where we read that the nobles put not their necks to the work. The nobles put not their necks to the work. Listen, in other words, when something is a wash, it does not hurt you, but however, it does not help you either. Think about that in the light of the cause of Christ. You content yourself with the thought that you're not hurting His cause. You're not hurting His cause. Yet it should prick your heart that as a Christian, if you're not helping His cause. Amen. Amen. I'd hate to think that my life, my Christian life, would be defined as a wash. I don't even like that. That just sounds backslidden, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Washful people. Number three, in the church, there are winkful people. Now stay with me, amen. Stay with my alliteration. Winkful people. I'll have Jimmy on the altar tonight, amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 6, the Bible says, he winketh with his eye and he speaketh with his feet. What are we learning here? We're learning that everything you see is not necessarily what it presents itself to be. Showy Christians. They're great for show, but not much for go. They're great for beauty, but don't call on them for duty. They're great for talk. I mean, after all, I can speak the language of the Christian life. I know the Bible that I carry. I know the church that I attend. I know the way that I ought to dress. I know the way that I ought to talk. I know the things that I ought to do. They know the talk, but they lack in the walk. Does a lot of leeching, but not much reaching. Amen. These are non-productive for the church. These three. These non-productive people in the church should understand their condition and ask God to help them get away from that. Stop wishing somebody else would get the job done. You accept the responsibility. Stop being awash for God's cause and being content with not hurting the church. Get involved with helping the church. And stop being great for show and get busy with the go. Let's live the Christian life. I mean, for real. These are non-productive for the church and will do little, if anything, to further God's kingdom. You know what? We're not going to have the 400 that we're asking God to give us next week by these types of people.
Amen. That's right.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen by wishers, washers or winkers. What we need is number four, watchers. 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 Ezekiel chapter number 3. The Bible says there, God tells Ezekiel, see, I've made thee a watchman. A watcher. A person with a mindset. They recognize their responsibility. They recognize their duty. They recognize their calling. I'm a holy God. I'm a watchman. I'm a watcher. I'm watching. What am I watching for? Those who need the gospel message. I'm watching for the direction of the Holy Spirit of God to use me in His kingdom. I'm a watcher. I think about four main things to watch out for. A, watcher of self. A watcher of self. And what I mean by that is you keeping an eye on your old rotten flesh. You keeping yourself in check. You know that every time service comes up, your flesh is going to rebel. Every time God begins to work in your life, the flesh is going to rebel. But a watcher recognizes that, and it's not about what you want to do. It's all about what you ought to do and responsibility and character, watching, first of all, yourself. I'm telling you, if I left my flesh unchecked, my life would be a wretched mess by this time tomorrow evening. Yes, indeed. And that's within every one of us. This flesh left unchecked is absolutely horrible and destructive. I know that. You don't have to look very far to find weakness in me and find fault with me. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I know that I'm a fleshly human being and capable and subject to falling like Isaiah was, a man of like passions. I know that. The fact is, since I know that, I watch myself. That's wisdom. You leave your flesh unchecked and we'll all know it. Well, yes, we will. Yes, we will. Amen. Watch yourself. Watch secondly, letter B, watchers of Satan. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Watching for self, watching for Satan. Thirdly, or C, watchers of the coming Savior. We keep our eye on our commander. We watch for the Savior, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, keeping our eyes on the Lord. Watchers. That's what we need in God's house. Watchers of self, watchers of Satan, watchers of the coming Savior, and watchers of souls. Am I my brother's keeper? Listen, we've been given a responsibility to reach this world with the gospel message. If you're not a part of that, let me just tell you, with all the love that I can muster, you're not right with God. You're not right with God. God's called us all to be soul winners. If for some reason your health does not allow you to go out with your church family or to go whenever you have opportunity, then by all means, please pray for your church as we go out. That's just as important as us going. But that means you're going to have to turn that television off. That means you're going to turn that radio off. That means you're going to have to get off of Facebook and get off of doing your thing and getting tuned into what your church is a part of. Reaching the world with the gospel message. We need watchers. Number five, we need warners. 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 Remember again, Ezekiel, he called him to be a watcher. In Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 and 19, he says, you are to warn them. If you don't warn them, their blood I'll require at thy hand. But if you warn them, their blood shall be on their own hands, being a warner of the things of God and what's out there. I think we said, first of all, be a warner lightly. What I mean by that, letting your light so shine before men. Being a warner with the light of your life. The Bible tells us that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lightly. Warner, secondly, loudly. Loudly. Man, the Bible, I read it Thursday night, the righteous are bold as a lion. Some of you, it seems like the only time you gather boldness is when you want to start a fight with somebody. How about just being bold for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's something I learned there at the mission. You get a guy that's got about three or four cans of beer in his system, he'd talk about God all day long. But when he ain't got a drop of that courage in him, he we ought to be bold. If we can be bold for anything, sometimes we brag on how that we're a no-nonsense kind of person. If anybody will say it, they'll say it. Well, good. Won't you say something about Jesus Christ Thursday night when we go out soul winning? I bet you won't say nothing then. No, it seems like it has to do with fleshly stuff. If somebody's called upon to get in the flesh and say what needs to be said, they'll say that in a minute. What about getting in the spirit and saying something about Jesus Christ? Man, I don't know about that. Yeah, I know. That's the problem. You're not a warner. Not only lightly with your light, but loudly with your voice. And then see, thirdly, longly. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 11, there where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, "Here am I, send me." And then Isaiah asked him, "How long? How long?" And the Bible says, "Till the earth be without inhabitant." Let me turn over and read it there so I can get it right. In Isaiah chapter number 6, "Till the land be desolate and the earth be without inhabitants." Let me just read it, amen. Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 11, Isaiah 6 verse 11, I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." That is the time you can punch your time clock and say that I'm done. We've not reached that time.
That's right.
So everybody has a call. Everybody has a part. The thing is, are you involved in your part? Granted, everybody can't go out Thursday night. I understand that. Brother O'Neill served God faithfully for many, many years. His health not allowed him to get out and labor like that. Several of you may not be able to do that. But you can do something, and I know he does. And I know others do. But you ought to, because every one of us have a call. Why? Because there's still souls in need of the gospel. Warners. Number 6, we need workers. We need workers. Workers. We don't need wishers. We don't need washers, and we don't need winkers. We need watchers, warners, and workers. Having a mind to work, they said of those guys in Nehemiah's day. Philippians chapter number 2, Philippians, I forgot to write down my reference, but being loyal to the Savior. Loyal to the Savior. How about being motivated to work? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies. We don't need spirits out here serving God. Remember the wishers? Wishful people? No, we need people, bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And goes on to verse number 2 about being conformed to this world. And motivated to work is a genuine love of service. And then thirdly, being mature at work. Matthew chapter number 11. There's where we read that the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You know, I believe a lot of people, they look at this service for God as negative because they've not learned that really the strength is in Jesus Christ. It's not in us as individuals. Sometimes we go out there and we knock on a door, we see somebody walking, and to think about doing that, we automatically see our inferiorities. We feel those inferiorities. We realize we feel we cannot do that. But you got to realize the joy of it all is that it's not in you. If you go out in the power of your own strength, you're more than likely going to fall flat on your face. God's not going to honor that. But if you recognize you need His power and you prayed and you understand that truth, when you go out there, you understand that it's in Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. Learn of me. That is a learned submission. That is a learned submission. Oh, Philippians 2, I'm sorry, a mind to work. I remember what it was. "Now let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having a mind to work is being loyal to the Savior. Being motivated to work is loving the service of God. Being mature in your work is when you realize that the strength is not in you, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then number 6, we need winners in the church. We need winners in the church. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a winning attitude. That takes faith, great faith. And the Bible teaches us if we just understand that by faith, without faith it's impossible to please Him, but through faith there's nothing we cannot accomplish for His honor, for His glory. Winners have a great faith, and it is exhibited by a great confidence. Confidence, first of all, in their immediate resolve. They understand this thing about being a winner. They're confident in the Lord. They're as bold as a lion. They're not worried and fearing what man can do to them. They have a confidence in immediate resolve. To be here Thursday night, I'm going to be here. To be here Sunday morning, I'm going to be here. To be here Sunday night, I'm going to be here. To be here Monday night, revival meeting, I'm going to be here. To be here Tuesday night, revival meeting, I'm going to be here. To be here Wednesday night, revival meeting, I'm going to be in my place. Amen. To be here Thursday night to carry the gospel, I'm going to be there. Confident in their immediate resolve. Because they know God is going to bless them and God is going to use them. Why? Because they're winners. Secondly, they're confident in their future results. Confident in their future results. They not only understand that what I do today is in obedience to God and that God is going to bless that, but they understand that what I do today is going to reap benefits down the road in the future, and I absolutely know that. I love you parents that are striving to push your kids to do the right things and to be here and to be a part of church service. God's going to bless that. You're creating the norm in them, and that norm will be a life surrounded by the things that are about the house of God. And that cannot be wrong. Future results. And that's just one area, but other areas. Recognize that winners. Winners have the confidence to know that what I'm doing for God today, even though my flesh may rebel against it, it's the right thing to do. They're confident in their future results, that what I'm doing today is going to reap benefits in the future. And then thirdly, they're confident in what they're doing today is going to bear fruit, is going to bear eternal rewards. Confident in eternal rewards. Winners. 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 These are the types of people in the church, in all churches, I imagine. There are wishful people, washful people, and winkful people. Amen, Brother Jimmy? These are negative. We don't need those. We've got some here. We don't need those. Here's what we need. We need watchers. We need warners. We need workers. We need winners. What are you tonight? What are you tonight? For this big day coming up next week. Man, I hope all of you, it's going to take us all, church. It's going to take us all. I hope every one of you have somebody and several somebody's in mind to be here next week for us to meet that goal. It is possible, but not without everybody. So let me encourage you, this week coming up, get out in labor. Get out in labor. Knock on those doors. Give gospel tracts. Contact your family members and your friends, those that you know and are acquainted with. Remember this Sunday, all of the points, all the visitors count. All visitors, no matter where they're from as far as the claims. You go out and work this week to get people here. And if we all do our part, we'll meet the goal that God's laid on our hearts. We need every laborer in the harvest. Remember, the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed.